subject well. We will try today to get a better understanding of the word sanctify. The passage read by Brother Webb, the Almighty God said to the Israelites that they should be holy because He was holy. No, I am not getting mixed up, because I've just told you we'll be looking on the word sanctify. And here am I talking about holy. The two words are the same. Throughout the entire Bible, we come upon words such as holy, sanctify, justify, glorify. And these are words we come upon quite often. These words are not used idly. In them, the Almighty God is speaking to His people. That is in words like justify, sanctify, holy, glorify. God is speaking to His people in these words. In this lesson, we examine the word sanctify, which is the same word holy, which is the same word hallowed, which is the same word saved. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking. When we use the word saved, when we use the word hallowed, when we use the word holy, when we use the word sanctify, we are using words that originate from the same root word. It is the one Greek word that sprung all these different words: sanctify, holy, hallowed, saints. In studying these words, the Almighty God is giving us lessons and messages in these words. The Almighty God is opening our eyes, our understanding to what He expects of us. To what and who He is. And what we are to be. The four words, as I've said, sanctify, holy, hallowed, saints, are from the same word. What we are interested in is the meaning the connotation. What idea do these words connotate or spin off? The concept. What surround these words? What are the ideas in these words? What are the lessons? What is the lesson in the word holy, sanctify? First, the meaning of the word holy and sanctify is separation. That's the primary concept in the word. Separation to or for God's purpose and God's will. Anything, any person that is called to God or that is placed aside for God's use or God's purpose, that person is considered sanctified or holy. Hallowed. Not only is the concept of anything, any person that is separated for God's purpose or God's use, but notice this. It also includes the conduct. Are we there? Befitting those who are so separated. So it's not just the word mean to be put aside for God's purpose. To be separated for God's use or God's purpose. But it includes the conduct or behavior that befits the person or thing that is so separated. Sanctify. The word sanctify or holy means to be placed or to be put in a state opposite. Well, let me, instead of use the word opposite, let me use the word. To be put in or to be placed in a state opposed to common are unclean. That is, when through your or my obedience and the effort of the Almighty God through Jesus Christ call us to salvation and we respond in obedience, the Almighty God put us in a state or a condition that is not common. And is not sinful. We put in a state where we are cleansed. In fact, when the Almighty God said to Peter, what I cleanse you call common and unclean? The concept of reverence and holy, even though the word was not used there in Acts chapter 10, that's the idea. When God is saying, never treat what the Almighty God has cleansed, which means God has separated it for his use. Never, Peter, call it common or unclean. Remember, the Almighty God told Peter to kill and eat. and Peter saw in the vision some beasts there that they as Jews didn't use in their domestic eating purpose. Probably our Uncle Arnold was there. So Peter responded to God that I have never eaten anything common or unclean. God was showing Peter before Peter reached Cornelius. God was showing Peter that he has now cleansed or about to sanctify the Gentile. So Peter must not go thinking when God has dealt with them that they are any more common. In fact, the word saints, when you arrive, we are the word saints justly. It means we are separated for God's use. It's both done by God and by us. We are to submit to the will of God. And the Almighty God will do the rest. That's right. So the word means to be place or to be put in a state opposite common or unclean. It means to be put in a state corresponding to the nature of God. Sanctified. Mean you are put in a state or a condition that corresponds to God's nature. Sanctify. It means God-likeness. That's one of the meaning or the idea in the word. God-likeness. Sanctify. It means a right relationship with God. When the Bible talks about Christian being sanctified, it means that man or woman is in a right relationship with God. When the word sanctify is used emphasizing character, Brother Mitchell, say that again. Thank you for asking. Whenever the word sanctify is used in reference to one's character or how we behave ourselves, when it's used in reference to Jesus the Christ, it means sinless perfection. That's right. The word sanctify, when it's used in reference to Jesus Christ and character is under consideration, it means sinless perfection. When the same word is used in the same context, but in reference to Christian, it means those who are making progress toward sinless perfection. Sanctify. The word sanctify, as we will be looking and seeing, is used in reference to the Almighty God. In fact, up front, may I say, sanctify is largely the work of Jesus Christ. But whenever the word is used in reference to God, man, and God-related things, it is telling us that we must reference God or that God-related thing. It means we must
exalt God or that God-related thing. It means we must adore God or that God-related thing. It means we must never treat the Almighty God or that God-related thing as if it is ordinary, as if it is common. We must treat it as if it is out of this world. You know, one of the things affecting the church is irreverence. That's right. We are worshiping and all sorts of things are going on. Sometimes people, among the young people especially, they'll be texting while we are worshiping. All sorts of things. My God, this is lack of reverence. What it is saying, that person doesn't understand what it means to sanctify God. When the Bible in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and I think it is verse 15. Let us hear it. 1 Peter chapter 3. If my memory serves me right, it's verse 15. Let us hear it.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts.
Wait. May I? This passage is saying Jesus Christ must have not just a place in our hearts. Jesus Christ must have the place in our hearts. Jesus Christ must have that special place. Wait. The heart here is not that which pumps the blood. It's the mind. Our intellect. That is the engine of the body. That is what controls everything. And what the Holy Spirit through Peter is saying. We can never be good if Jesus Christ is not sanctified in our mind. That is, Jesus Christ must have that special place of reverence, honor, adoration, uniqueness, exaltation in our mind. It is from there that we are going to treat God-related things the right way. There's a passage we are going to come at which tells the Christian Paul at Thessalonica how glad he was that when they received the word of God, they did not treat it as man's word. Wait. In fact, Brother Webb, finish with that one before I get on to another one. But sanctify, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
What of the reason we cannot defend what we claim to believe? Is lot of times we do not set Jesus Christ aside in our mind. So we are not prepared to defend the truth. We don't even believe it the way we are to believe it, some of us. You see, sanctify Jesus Christ in your heart. Remember, Bible's heart is the one that thinks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's not this heart. It is this heart. Give Jesus Christ a special place, dear. When you do that, you can move on to greater things. Without that,
your Christianity will always be stifled if the Almighty God through Jesus Christ does not have His exalted place in our heart.
Not only that, when we give the Almighty God, when we give Jesus Christ His rightful place in our heart, it helps us to be humble. You know, and you do too, where you read books or you see a person's name and the acclamation behind it is the most holy, honorable, reverend. I always laugh when I see that. The question that usually comes to me is, how did we get there? We are religious leaders. They are the most holy, honorable, reverend. How did we come to be reverend? When that word is used but one time in the entire 66 books of the Bible, and the one time it is used, it is in reference to God. How did we, religious leaders, come to feel that word of honor also belonged to us? It's used in God's revelation in reference to God alone. In fact, the passage also tells some things that this God who is reverend does. And you will see from context that that word is God's prerogative. So I wonder, how did we stray that far? Reverence belongs to God. We must sanctify the Almighty God in our hearts. I've forgotten the other passage, brother, that talks about when they receive the word of God in Thessalonians. Hopefully we'll get there in a few minutes. May I? We have been telling the meaning, the connotation, the concept, the ideas that are contained in the word sanctify and holy. We are now about to look on how the word is used, some interesting ways that the word sanctify is used. That is its connotation and application. And these usages, I've said, is enlightening and it's instructive and helpful. May I? While sanctification is primarily the prerogative of Jesus Christ, we get the idea that man also sanctifies. The blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies. The Almighty God, the Father, sanctifies. The Holy Spirit sanctifies. It would have taken up time. I intended, as a part of this lesson, to list, you know, just, I had planned to take just about 5-10 minutes, to list four things. When the Almighty God, through Joshua, said
to the Israelites at the mouth of the river Jordan before the cross, that the Israelites should sanctify themselves. This is found. Don't read it, brother. Found, remember, we looked at it last week in the book of Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, that the Israelites should sanctify themselves. I wanted to show four things that sanctifying would do for the children of Israel. But then I was telling myself, with God's help, I don't want to come back to this lesson, so let me not add too much in it. But you'd find that quite enlightening and interesting. Even appreciating the miracles that was done at the entrance of Jordan, if they did not put themselves aside for God, they would not absorb the awesomeness of those miracles. Sanctify. As I said, it is primarily the prerogative of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. And you could read from either verse 10 or verse 11. And chapter 13, from 10, verse 10 or verse 11. I really want verse 12. But you can pick up from either 10 or 11 somewhere there.
We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle.
Wait. You know, this is why sometimes... lesson that I said I want to just have this as a one-part lesson. He said, the inspired writer said, we have an altar.
Whereof they have no right to eat, which serves the tabernacle.
Did you get it? Those who serve the tabernacle, that's the Old Testament tabernacle. That is, those who are still sticking to the Old Testament system. The Holy Spirit said they do not have a right to our sacrifice. That is Jesus Christ. When you and I look back and want to hold on to the Old Testament system, day, Sabbath, and all of this, you are cutting yourself off from Jesus Christ. Brother, when somebody didn't hear that passage, read it again.
We have an altar.
We are the Christians. That's right. We, the Christians, have
an altar.
An altar referring to Christ and his death at Calvary for us. Read on.
Whereof they have no right to eat, which served the tabernacle.
Oh Lord, have mercy. Once you are sticking to the Old Testament system, be it Sabbath or whatever, the Holy Spirit is saying, you do not have any right to Jesus Christ. Can I just skip from the sermon and continue? Anyway, we'll pick up on this another time. Read on, brother.
For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood.
That he might do what, brother?
Sanctify the people.
Isn't that what we're talking about today, being sanctified? And the idea and the concept in the word? Here we are told that Jesus Christ sanctified. What did you say the word mean again, Brother Mitchell? It means that you are put aside by God for God's purpose on you. Sanctify. Want another one on the fact that Christ sanctified? Let us hear Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and verse 29. Let us hear it.
By the which will we are sanctified through the offering.
Again, I have to beg you, to start at verse 9. You have read verse 10? I want you to get a background. Read.
Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first.
Wait. May I? He takes away the
first.
First will. Y'all got that? Why did he take it away?
That he may establish the second.
Now, you see, we come right back here. This is what he took away.
Yeah.
Well, when people come telling you about Sabbath, that was for the Jews. To remind them that God emancipated them from slavery in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Here the Holy Spirit in the writer of Hebrews is telling us that God takes that first will away. That he may do what?
Establish the second.
Wait. He take it away the first. That he may establish indeed the second will. Watch here now. Read on.
By the which will we are sanctified.
It is by the second will.
Yeah.
That we are set apart from God.
Through
the old will cannot set anyone apart for God today. That's why Jesus Christ nailed it to the cross. Mm-hmm. When the writer writes that he takes it away the first will, it's talking about the Old Testament system. That he may establish the second will. Mm-hmm. Then he said,
By the which will
we are set apart for God.
Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
That's right.
Wait.
You know, a lot of people just read the Bible and they just keep, sometimes people just grab onto what they like and throw away what they don't like. That's not the way you understand the Bible. Like all this, it's a very important passage.
Yes.
Jesus Christ gave away the first will. That's the Old Testament system. And he did that in order to establish the new will. That's the New Testament system. That's the gospel.
But notice this. It is by the new will we are set apart for God through Jesus Christ.
Huh?
Verse 29. Sanctified.
Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified.
Here again in the one passage. Are we all here? In the one chapter of Hebrews chapter 10. Twice the word sanctify comes up. The first sanctify is that we are sanctified by the New Testament way.
The second way, that's the gospel. Then the word sanctify is used here in verse 29, telling us that we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me check, what does that mean? When a man or a woman is properly taught, and that person responds to Jesus Christ in obedience, that is through faith, repentance, and baptism. In baptism, the Almighty God cleanses that man or woman from his sin. It is a baptism that the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to the penitent believer. And the Bible says it is clear that you are sanctified. Because you are forgiven for all your past sins at baptism.
in the sight of God and baptism. And the Bible says you are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctified, set apart.
Oh Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, brother. Verse 25 through 26.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might...
Wait. The sanctify use here is Christ. Christ and going work. The sanctify use in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, which the brother has just read, is talking about Jesus Christ ongoing work. Listen again.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it.
Jesus Christ loved the church. Christ gave himself for the church. Watch your mouth.
That he might sanctify...
And cleanse it
with the washing of water by the word.
Wait, brother, are you wondering what washing of water comes in?
And hold the note I've gotten in baptism.
That's right.
Baptism. You can't remove that from the sanctified.
Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the word sanctified, holy, hallowed, has direct bearing and implication. And get this, on our attitudes, our disposition, and our treatment of not only the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, but anything that is of God or relates directly to God's purpose and will. Brother Mitchell, that was a long statement. Yes, and that's why I'll have to make it again. The word sanctify, the word holy, has direct bearing and implication on not only the Almighty God. The word sanctified does not affect us only as it relates to God, to Christ, to the Holy Spirit. But the word sanctify has bearing and meaning and implication to you and me
as it relates to anything that is of God, or anything that relates directly to God's will or to God's purpose. Look at the passage now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13.
For this cause also thank we God without ceasing.
For this cause also we thank God.
Without, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
May I, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, you see, the word of God, even as it is being preached now, you see, the word of God, when you and I studied from the Bible, it calls for all the reverence. Are we all there? All the exaltation. Are we all there? All the respect that we can give it. And this is exactly what Paul is saying to the Christian at Thessalonica, that when they receive God's word, Paul realized that this church of Christ at Thessalonica, they showed extra reverence for God's word. We need to. You see, it's part of our human nature that anything that is readily accessible to us, we treat it commonly. We take it for granted. It has lost its importance. You know, this in the Bible tells one us to be careful how we get excited over new things. When the Bible talks about that happy teaching, here they shall teach to themselves, teacher, that happy was teaching that men and women, you know, must watch it, that they do not get carried away either by the new voice or the new doctrine. And we are here, happy teaching here, this here is that itch for newness. You know, this how you get excited over the new dress or new pants, even though the old one fits you better. You get excited over the new car, even though the old one was very dependable. Get excited over new wife, new husband. You notice when people are poor, you know they are excited about each other. Oh, you're not beginning to see a world that I'm doing. And after they get married 1 or 2, 3, 4, 5 years, they are no more excited over each other. Well, let me tell you better after this. No, so I'm right and left. I'm saying that we should not treat God's word as it is come. We must be excited about God's word. We must always see its uniqueness and its exaltation. Paul is complimenting this church for the reverence In fact, some people have respect for nothing. That's right. But Christian, we should learn to respect the things that are of God. That's what the passage is about. When they received the word of God, they knew that it was different, superior, better than the word of men. You see, the concept here is the word sanctify. sanctification and holiness is the consideration. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24, I really want from verse 2 to verse 10, but let me rush because time has run out. 1 Samuel 24, start at 2, and I'm going to ask you to jump down.
Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks.
Wait, quick. Saul was seeking to kill David. David became a fugitive. He was always running away. He did no evil. Brother Mitchell, I thought you were preaching about sanctification, and you have just made the statement that sanctification or holiness is what is under consideration, or it is the fear factor in this text. Yes. So we read that Saul took 3,000 men, shot one in the water. And you know what, brothers and sisters? The same cave that David was hiding, he and his men, never dreamt that Saul would have come that direction. You know, there's a part of what's up on the end. Well, here you are. That's the very cave that Saul with his 3,000 men hid. Step me down to verse 8 and 9, some of your friends.
David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul.
Wait. Step up. That is what verse?
That was 8.
8. Step up to about 7.
So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul.
You get the drift here? You know, the drift is that when Saul came in king, David was hiding in one section, but Saul and his 3,000 men didn't know that. So David realized they were so tired and they were so dead asleep that David men said to Saul, did you remember David always said, God will deliver your enemy? They thought that this was it. But watch it or not, David encouraged them not to hurt Saul. And you're going to see the reason. What? You thought I have left the sermon of sanctification? No, we're right here. So, David decided that what he would do is spy King Saul royal court, cut off a little bit, as witness, as evidence. So you can step down now, brother, to verse 9 or 8, wherever you were.
David also arose and went afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my lord the king. And when Saul looked...
Wait, you notice that he is still honoring King Saul. No disrespect, no irreverence. My lord, the king.
And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his hand, with his face to the earth, and bowed himself.
You get it? In reverence to the man who was trying to do his strategy. Showing all the respect.
And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying,
You are listening to Saul, but foolish.
Men's.
We are the grown man should have known better not to listen to his people and to his son. Maybe this is to continue.
Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand.
You see Saul that a lion in a bed. Sorry. They were telling lies. Because God delivered you into my hand. And I didn't hurt you.
In the cave. And some bade me kill thee.
Some encouraged me to kill you.
But my eyes spared thee.
Uh-huh.
And I said,
uh-huh.
I will not put forth my hand.
Wait, brother. We come now to sanctify. Yeah? Huh? And I said, I will not put forth
my hand against my Lord.
My hand against
my Lord.
My Lord.
For he is the Lord's
anointed. He is God's anointed. That's reverent. If it's God's anointed as contrary as King Saul was, it means he was set apart as king by God. Sanctified. It would be all I would be committing a grievous sin if I showed disrespect, disregard, irreverence as contrary as Saul was. Because he was God's anointed. We're talking about the word sanctified. Here it is in display. Because King Saul was set aside by God to be king. David could not do what his men were encouraging him to do.
Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand.
You don't believe me, King Saul? You are so bent on pursuing me, you don't even notice the piece of your royal coat is cut off. So see, read.
For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe,
mm-hmm.
and kill thee not,
mm-hmm.
know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou hauntest my soul to take it.
You all get it. But you know, brothers and sisters, I have to stop here. But there's so much more. In fact, may I? Ladies and gentlemen, what we are looking here is how the word holy is. The word word sanctify, the word holy, the same word. It means that which has been set aside for God's people. The person who has been set aside for God's purpose, God's use. When used for God, it means that you must hold God in a due place, in reverence, revering Him. But the passage read just now is just one of the passages here I want to show the demonstration of the word. There are some three more texts. Have you ever read when the Almighty God sent Moses up here? Moses was to die. That tells a lot. In fact, the word sanctifies use in that passage. But a passage you and I know and has been used here a lot. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Quick, brother, follow. Quick.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Devoured them, and they died.
If you understand the word devour here, it means God killed them. They were worshiping God. God killed them. Listen now to verse 3.
Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord speaks, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
What?
I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
What?
I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
Isn't that what we are talking about? What is that saying?
Oh my God. I will be sanctified in the demon, anyone who comes near to me. And I will be glorified
before all the people.
Let me not go further, because I may have to revisit this next week. I'm not sure. I want to make a statement here. What we are going to learn
from this text, the Almighty God will be sanctified and glorified either by our obedience or by punishment from Him.
I wish I could. Anyway, time up. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, there's much more, but we will let this stay. One of the principles here too is when God is specific. There's so much here, and this is why I may have to revisit this, because there are three important parts. Moses is dead, and why? And when God sent him up to where he would die, and how the word sanctify is used. Moses failed to sanctify God. As Christians, it is telling us we must make sure that we reverence God. And things relating to God, is it the church, God's word, we must make sure we give it all the reverence, the respect that we need to. I invite you back next week, because there are a few things here that needs to be expanded on. So I'm inviting our visiting friends. But may I? One of the things that I plan to expand on is a passage that shows the hell and heaven difference. Either when men and women respond to God's word in obedience, or when they reject God's word. So don't miss out on it. Right now you can become a child of God. I mean right now. And when you hear God's truth and you respond to it in obedience, you are reverencing God. You are justifying God. When you respect God's word and you hear it in the spirit and the walk it away, you can do that today. Today, you can believe, accepting your sinful condition, because the Almighty God says that you're a sinner. If you believe and accept that, and believe that Jesus Christ is the only person who can deal with your sin problem, which is your greatest problem, then you need to repent. Make a decision to give up your way of life and accept Jesus' way. That's repentance. Are you a Christian when you repent? No. You're on your way. What else? You must be willing to confess Jesus' name. That is, you must not be ashamed of Christ. And you know what? You must be baptized for the removal of sin. That is actually a quotation from the Bible. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. What must we do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. Remission means removal. It is in baptism that the Almighty God applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your soul. Today, you can step forward, and if you're a child of God who are straight, backslidden, grown and faithful, what better time than now which God has given you for you to come and give Jesus Christ your life? There is no better time. Why? Because the Almighty God tells us that He gives us today. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. We are going to stand and sing. Jesus Christ, in love, in mercy, in patience, says, come unto me. Sanctifying God. Let God to Christ have that special place in your life. Exalt.